Open your Bibles with me to the book of Exodus. We're continuing our study of the Ten Commandments, and we're going to be in the fourth one this morning. Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to be down in verses 8 through 10 in just a minute. There was a crisis in the country of Holland. Of course, if you know Holland, you know Holland is an unusual land in that a large portion of it has been, or once was, under the ocean, and they reclaimed it. Of course, they say, you had a flood 4,000 years ago. I guess everything was underwater, but Holland recently was underwater, and they reclaimed it through a series of dikes and canals, and the little story about the boy with his finger in the dike, of course, comes from Holland. It's actually a real case scenario. There was a large storm and raised the water levels, and the sea of everything was crashing, and there was problems, and the authorities called out all hands on deck to come and sandbag and do different things to keep the dikes from breaking. And happened that this storm took place on a Sunday, and the constable went down to the local church and said, "Hey guys, we need to come out and help because we have a terrible situation going on here." And the men of the church refused to help. They said, "It's the Sabbath day. Sunday is the Sabbath," they said, "and we cannot help." And the constable was a Christian, pulled out his Bible. He says, "I read in the scriptures where Jesus healed people on the Sabbath. In fact, Jesus even said that it's good to do good on the Sabbath." And they said, "Yeah, and we've had a problem with what Jesus did all these years," they said. And true story, the dikes broke and many people lost their homes, lost their livelihoods as a result of it. Is that what God meant when he established the law of the Sabbath? Is that what he intended? There was another story, interesting, there's many that have to do with the Sabbath, but this one had to do with the Jews. Back a couple hundred years before Christ, a guy by the name of Judas Maccabeus was leading the Jewish revolt against their Greek overlords. And they threw off the oppression of the Greeks. They rededicated the temple. In fact, there is a holiday called Hanukkah that is celebrated even to this day by Jews, commemorating that rededication and that revolt. But Judas Maccabeus was leading this revolt, and he has slaughtered many Greeks, and the Greek overlord who lived up in the area of Syria today was a guy by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes. Antiochus Epiphanes thought he was God in every sense of that term. And he was incensed that the Jews would do something like this, and so he got his armies together, and he was sending them south into the Promised Land, and the Jews were ready for him. They were about to have a battle on their own territory, their home field, and they were going to have an advantage, to be sure. Except for the fact that when his armies arrived, he planned it like this because he knew he could get them. He made sure that the battle was not engaged until Saturday, the Sabbath day. And he knew the Jews wouldn't fight. In fact, they didn't, and the Greeks slaughtered them. Is that what God intended for the Sabbath day? That, something that ignorant would be done? Is that what he meant? Well, let's read. The longest command, actually, the most verbiage you have of the Ten Commandments is contained within this command for the Sabbath day. Let's begin here in verse 8. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy." It was the seventh day that after God had created things in 6 days, on the seventh day he rested. 6 days, he said, "You shall labor and do all your work. And on the seventh day, the Sabbath day of the Lord your God, in it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth." Notice, God is not a evolutionist, is he? It's not. Neither is your Bible. You can't make it fit. Sorry. Pick one or the other. "In 6 days God made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." So there you have the reading of, like I said, the most verbiage you have of any of the laws. A couple of questions to start you out with here is, based on what we just said, based on what we read and the illustration I just gave you, are we to observe this law? Is Sunday the Christian Sabbath day? Is it actually? Is it wrong to work or play golf or fish on a Sunday? We're going to be answering questions like this and several others related to it, but in order to do that, we've got to dig a little bit deeper into just the simple meaning of Sabbath, and especially the word Sabbath. The word Sabbath is, of course, in English as it is in all the other words you have in your Bible, an English translation of a foreign language, in this case, a Hebrew language. The word Sabbath in Hebrew is pronounced Shabbat. You hear a Jewish person speak of it, especially the Israeli Jews we have on the island here. You'll hear them say Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom, they'll say, which is a Friday greeting. When you say hello, they'll say Shabbat Shalom. Or Saturday, they will say Shabbat Shalom. Not just hello, but hello, good, have a good Sabbath, they'll say. Shabbat, it comes from the word Sheba. Sheba in the Hebrew language is the simple word for seven. Very common word that you have in the Old Testament. In fact, we don't pronounce it Sheba, we pronounce it Sheba. We have a lot of Shebas in the Old Testament. In fact, this word is in conjunction or in combination of a number of words that you'll recognize. For instance, there's a city in Israel called Beersheba, we call it. Beer is a Hebrew word. It's not the stuff you buy down here at 7-Eleven. Beer in Hebrew refers to a well, so it's seven wells. Beersheba, seven wells. It's a city that was created by Abraham and his son Isaac, and they built their seventh well there, and they called it Beersheba for that reason. There's a lady that's significant in the life of David. Her name was Bathsheba. Bath is the word for daughter. Sheba is the word for seven. So what do we know about Bathsheba? She was the seventh daughter. You know, once you had four or five, you know, just start numbering them. Let's see, now I think you were number 10, weren't you? When are you getting married? Y'all need to get out of here. We got some back there, don't we? Just start numbering them. Once you get past a certain number, just start numbering them. The Queen of Sheba, literally the Queen of Sheba, the Queen of Seven. That was the name of her country, Sheba. And then, of course, we have this word Shabbat, which is literally the seventh day. Shabbat means literally to cease or desist. And the reason why it says that is because it's the end of the week. It's the cessation, if you will, of days. And from that day, the next day starts the counting of seven over again. So it's the seventh day. And so we can already answer one of our questions, by the way. Is Sunday the Sabbath? The answer is no, it is not. No, it cannot be. Because in order to be the Shabbat, it has to be the seventh day, which you just missed it. It was just yesterday. It is, listen to me, according to the word and the definition of the word, it is impossible for Sunday to be the Shabbat. Because when you say the word Shabbat, you're automatically referring to only one day of the week. It can only be the seventh day. Sunday is the first day of the week. So since it's the first day, it by definition cannot be the seventh day. You follow me? So be careful. Again, you don't have any wiggle room here. Say, well, we think it's the Sabbath day. Okay, well, let's deal with the other laws that way. Let's say, let's take Bill Clinton, for instance, who said that he didn't sleep with what's-her-name. Now, that's what he said. What do you think his wife thought about it? I didn't commit adultery with that girl. Let's hear what his wife had to say. You see, his definition, I mean, I can say that the earth is flat. I can call it whatever I want. But it doesn't change reality, does it? You can call Sunday the Sabbath day, but guys, it doesn't change reality. Saturday was yesterday. Always has been. Always has been. You can't just simply move it. If we're gonna play football, if you will, with the Ten Commandments, in that case, we might as well play football with the rest of them. We're going to finagle them around however we want to. You can't do it. So we already have a problem, don't we? We have a problem with keeping the Sabbath because the church historically has not met on the Sabbath day. We have met on a Sunday. Why do we do that? Why do we? By the strict definition, we are breaking the Sabbath unless we meet on a Saturday. There have been many denominations, Seventh-day Adventists and others, who for that reason have switched and stopped meeting on Sunday because they said, we're not keeping this commandment, and they have switched and met on a Saturday, which, by the way, you can do. There's no set rule in the New Testament as to when we're supposed to meet. So can we meet on a Saturday? We most certainly can. But you can call it whatever you want. Sunday cannot be the Sabbath day. It cannot. So I wanted to start out there because we have some problems. One of our problems is for 1,300 of the 1,700 years of church history, we have called Sunday the Sabbath day. Why do we do that? Scripture doesn't allow us to do that. Well, because of tradition, not because of reality. Reality, like I said, has been one thing, and what we called it has been something else. We've also, as a country, have called Sunday the Sabbath day. In fact, we've had laws that enforced, if you will, Sunday being the Sabbath. How many remember blue laws? We have poor brother Luke down here who's just a kid, and he doesn't. And we have a few kids there in the back who don't remember the blue laws. By the way, you know why they were called blue laws? They were originally called blue nose laws, but they dropped the nose. Originally, they came from the Puritans. The Puritans came and settled our beloved country. And because, according to the Old Testament, you were not allowed to light a fire on Sunday, if their fire went out on Sunday and it was the middle of a blizzard, they couldn't light it, and so they would have to, instead of having a fire, they got a blue nose. And so they called them blue nose laws. They dropped the nose, and they started just calling them simply blue laws. Up until 1985, at least in the state of Texas, many merchants didn't open on Sundays. Many that did were limited in what they could sell. You could not sell anything that quote unquote worked. For instance, as a merchant, I could sell a shirt on Sunday, but I could not sell a washing machine to clean the shirt in because the washing machine worked. Follow me? I could sell in a hardware store, I can sell nails on a Sunday. This is true, by the way, I'm not making these up. I could sell nails on a Sunday, but I could not sell a hammer because a hammer worked. Make sense? Maybe it doesn't, but that's the way we ran things. Up until 1985, which was a senior year in high school for me, and the rest of you were juniors or freshmen in high school, I'm sure. That was when they overturned these laws. But we had nothing, as legalistic as some of those sound, we had nothing on the Jews. The Jews, according to their Talmudic law, not the biblical law, they added to the biblical law. They said, well, God had a few things to say, but he wasn't totally correct, essentially. We're going to add a bunch of laws to it. They had 24 pages of what you cannot do on a Sabbath day, which is a Saturday. Among them, some interesting things. For instance, you were not allowed, according to the Talmudic law, to take a bath on a Saturday. Not because they were, in fact, the Jews were very big on cleanliness. Washed their hands 7 times. They would do all kinds of things. Very big on cleanliness. But you were not allowed to take a bath on a Saturday, on a Sabbath day, because perchance you may splash water on the floor. Why is that bad? Because whatever that water hit, it would clean, and in cleaning, of course, is work, and you've therefore broke the Sabbath, so you're not allowed to take a bath. Women were not allowed to look in the mirror on a Sabbath day. Can you imagine why? According to Talmudic law, they were not allowed to look in the mirror because perchance they may see a gray hair and pull it, and that would be work, which would be the breaking of the Sabbath day. It's extremely legalistic. You go to Israel with us, as we are going to go here in about a year, in October of 2014. You're welcome to go. We're going to be going over there. Love to have you. When you go over there on the Sabbath day, which is the Saturday, which, by the way, starts 6 o'clock Friday evening. They start their days in the evening. We start our days in the morning, right? They start their days at 6 o'clock in the evening. So 6 o'clock in the evening, if you're in a hotel with automatic doors, when you get to those automatic doors, you're going to push them open yourself on the Sabbath day. They deactivate automatic doors because the actuators in the doors make a tiny spark. Tiny spark is a micro fire, and according to the scriptures, you're not allowed to light a fire on a Sabbath day, so they deactivate the doors. They also deactivate the elevators. Now, some of the hotels we stay in will have what's called, they'll have several, a bank of elevators, and one of them will be called a Sabbath elevator. Do not get on the Sabbath elevator on the Sabbath day. Unless you intend to stop at every floor, because that's all the elevator does all day. It goes bing, 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 all the way to the top, bing, 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 all the way to the bottom, constantly. What it allows is for the observant Jew to get on the elevator at any floor and go to any floor without pushing a button, because pushing a button is breaking the Sabbath. It is work. Now, I've just given you probably a perfect definition of legalism. A legalist is a person who has a longer list of sins than God does. Well, God was right about a few things, but here's a few things that are also sins. Okay, well, if you want to think that way, I guess you can. But all I have to say this, hear me clearly, we cannot say that Sunday is a Christian Sabbath day. I invite any of you to find a single verse in the New Testament, or passage, or parable, or anything of the like, that in any way infers that Sunday has been switched to the Sabbath day. Go ahead, knock yourself out. I can save you the trouble. I can tell you right now, it does not exist. So why have we called Sunday the Sabbath day? Because it was handed to us by the Catholic Church. They had invented it about 600 years after Christ, and it was handed to us by Jewish legalism. Does that bother you? It kind of does, doesn't it? It kind of bothers me because I kind of had a big to-do on that many years ago. Maybe a pill a little bit big for us to swallow, but while we're swallowing, I want you to listen carefully to the things I've got to say. Hear me carefully. Hear me carefully. Christians are not required to obey Sabbath laws. Christians are not required to obey Sabbath laws. Laws that may hit you, like I said, that may be a pill that's difficult for you to swallow. But what you have in the Ten Commandments, you have ten commands that are to be taken and followed literally, with the exception of one. The fourth commandment, the commandment of the Sabbath, is a commandment that does not apply literally to the Christian. Why do I say that? Well, it's not something I made up. I did not write the Bible. But I am required to preach it to you as it is written. So let me give you several things that demonstrate that. The reason why we don't keep the tenth, that fourth commandment, is because it has been fulfilled in Christ, unlike the other laws. This law has been fulfilled, has been kept in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But let me point you to several places in the New Testament that, if you will, disengage this law from Christianity. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, Paul writing to the Colossian church, who's dealing with Jewish legalism, among other things, and he says to them, "Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regards to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day." Wow, now, in a very short phrase here, he's basically deactivated one of our whole commandments. You'll never find this with any other command in the New Testament. All the other commands are upheld. They are effective. We are required to keep them as Christians, not because they save us, but because it demonstrates that we are faithful to God and that we're thankful to Him for the things that He's done. But the Sabbath day has been, as a strict commandment, has been undone. Another place. Romans, again, Paul writing. Chapter 14, verses 5 and 6. One man regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Notice what he says. He doesn't lay down the law here and say, why do you have a problem? He could have easily said, obviously we're supposed to keep the Sabbath day. What's the problem with you, Romans? Straighten up. Notice what he says. Let each man be fully convinced in his own mind. Wow. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. He goes on to say, who does not observe the day does so also to the Lord. So notice, he doesn't lay down. Again, what do we have in this commandment? We have a commandment that's been disengaged in the New Testament. Again, I challenge any of you, or I welcome any of you, to find a place where it says that the Sabbath has now become Sunday. You can't do it. It doesn't exist. Although we have operated that way for a very long time. Now, why has it been disengaged? Well, there's several reasons. First of all, because the Sabbath was unique to the nation of Israel. Notice what it says here in Exodus chapter 31, verse 16 and 17. So the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. Not Christians. Not Gentiles. Sons of Israel. So one of the reasons why it has basically been deactivated for us is because it has been removed. We are the Ten Commandments are in effect with the exception of this one law, which has been taken symbolically, or is to be taken symbolically. We don't believe, for instance, that works save us, do we? This is a symbolic law that points to our resurrection or points to our salvation. For instance, we have in Christ, we rest in Him, do we not? 6 days you shall work and do all your labor. The seventh day you shall rest. When we come to faith in Christ, we rest in Him. We actually are observing a permanent Sabbath. Again, examples in the New Testament to that effect. Therefore, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his work, just as God did from His. We don't believe in a work salvation, do we? We believe in a faith salvation that rests in the work of Christ, don't we? And that's exactly what the writer of Hebrews is speaking of. Who enters that rest? He gives it very specifically here. This then is how you should pray. Uh-oh, sorry. There it is. That was from the last sermon. Now we have believed, notice, now we who have believed have entered that rest. Have you believed in Christ as personal Savior? Have you trusted Him? Listen to me, according to the New Testament, you're in a permanent Sabbath. Somebody says to you, oh, you don't go to church on Saturday? No, I do not. Well, you're not keeping the Sabbath. You say, no, I'm not. Not in the way you say it. In Christ, though, I'm resting every day. Every day I'm resting in Christ. Every day I keep the Sabbath. I don't keep the Sabbath on Saturday. I don't keep the Sabbath on Sunday. I keep the Sabbath every day. That's exactly what you're supposed to be doing. Faith in Christ is what enters, as it says here, is what brings us into that rest, brings us into that permanent rest. Why has this been deactivated? Because it's to be taken symbolically. It was fulfilled in Christ. Every day I rest in Christ. Every day I trust Him. Every day. And so we're exempt from keeping the laws of the Sabbath. And that's the reason why, by the way, our United States has gotten rid of it, because many people who are involved in theology came to them and said, listen, you can't keep saying that, because actually the Scriptures don't teach that Sunday is a Sabbath day. One of the reasons why the church quit observing the Sabbath, started meeting on Sundays, is because they believed, just like it says here, that they had entered into a permanent rest. Why did we start meeting on Sundays and not the Sabbath day? Why did the church, if we're going to interpret it literally, begin to break one of the commandments? Because they understood, they knew, the writers of the New Testament knew, that the Sabbath command no longer applies to us. So we started meeting on Sundays. Instead of resting at the end of the week, which is the seventh day, which is the Sabbath day, we started resting at the first of the week, which is Sunday. So, and by the way, when was man created? Remember in the creation order? Every day God created something. Man was created on the sixth day, sometime during the sixth day. What happened on the seventh day? So the first full day of man's existence was not a work day, was a rest day. But when we get to the law, when sin comes, and the law has to come in order to make sin what it's supposed to be, then the rest day is put at the end of the week, is it not? But in Christ, when a curse has been removed, we switched it again, haven't we? Correctly so. God is moving us back to the original creation, back to what we were before sin, also switches our rest day, not from the end of the week to the first of the week. One of the reasons why we meet on a Sunday. But anyway, notice, remember what God says. By the seventh day, God had finished the work that He had been doing. So on the seventh day, He rested from all His work. Our first full day of existence as human beings, our first full day of humanity, was not a work day. It was a rest day. The church likewise brought it back to resting on the first day. So under the old covenant, they worked first, then rested. Under the new covenant, we rest first. Not until you've rested in Christ can you do any work for Him. So we rest first, and then we work. So I spent a lot of time up here this morning telling you that we don't have to obey the Sabbath laws, and now I'm going to do something that is a bit different. Like I said, we are not under the Sabbath law. But the principle of the Sabbath is an excellent rule of thumb. You are built. You are created to have a rest day. You need a rest day. Notice what Jesus had to say about the Sabbath and the Jews and, I guess, the Hollanders who had a problem with Him. He said this to them. He said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So that you wouldn't splash water on the floor, or you wouldn't push a button, or the actuators on your door wouldn't start a spark. You weren't made to be a slave to the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for you. So there is a principle. The law of the Sabbath as a strict code, no, has been deactivated. But the principle of the Sabbath has not been deactivated. It's the way we're created. We have to work. Notice what the command says. 6 days you shall work. Any system that puts us in a place where we do not work, like a welfare system, is a bad system. We were not created to just sit around. And evidence shows that people who are allowed to just sit around, they don't become better. They become worse. They get in trouble, and they cause trouble, and they are trouble. We are created to work. In fact, it says that here in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and care for it. Somehow along the way, we've gotten this idea that work was a part of the curse. Toil was a part of the curse, guys, not work. This is before Adam and Eve fell. He was created to work. So he's supposed to work. So first of all, we need to work. But another thing we need to do is we need to rest. We live in a culture that's not afraid to work, but sometimes we're afraid to rest. We don't even know how to rest. We're scared to death how to rest. Let me tell you how I rest. This is what I did yesterday. I go spear fishing. Because under the water, I cannot receive phone calls. I do not receive texts. I cannot hear my wife talking about one of my kids and what they're not doing. I cannot hear that because I'm 40 foot down. I'm killing fish. I'm enjoying myself. Nobody knows where I am. I may drown out there, and nobody will find me. I'll be resting for quite a while. Do I observe the principle of Sabbath? I most certainly do. We live in a culture in which, in order to keep the principle of the Sabbath, it's a strain. You need to have a Sabbath rest. You need to be resting. If you do not resting, if you do not take your Sabbaths, if you will, your body will take them from you. You'll be laid flat on your back in a bed in a hospital with a bunch of tubes sticking out of you because you do not rest. You're not created to work 100% of the time. Work hard, rest hard. We have to have it. There are two large companies in America who close on Sundays. You know which ones they are? Chick-fil-A. You know the other one? Hobby Lobby. Both Christian-owned. Both their articles of incorporation and their articles of intent. You can read it. They do not close on the Sunday because, they say very specifically, it's not because we believe that Sunday is the Sabbath day, just exactly like I've been teaching you. We don't believe that Sunday is the Sabbath day, but we do believe in the principle of the Sabbath. We do believe that people need a break. They need a time for worship. They need a time for family. We get better work out of our employees if we will give them a full day off, no matter what. And so we close our stores. That's exactly what they say. You have to do the same thing. It's excellent principle. You have to rest. Several Americans were once, many years ago, on an African safari, and this was before Land Rovers and other things, and so they had to go in and hire their labor. And the local natives would carry their baggage and carry their instruments and their equipment and everything. And they were going out on a safari, and they were 10 days into it. 10 days with no rest. 10 days every day, traveling, moving, doing something constantly, only stopping at night to make camp and rest and eat. And they would get up the next morning early, and they would take off again. Well, they woke up on the 10th day, and they were packing up all their stuff and folding up all their tents, and they looked over to the natives and their tents and their stuff. The natives were still in their beds. They said, "Hey, guys, you know, it's time to go. We hired you. We need you to get up." They said, "We do not work today." "Why don't you work today?" "We do not work today because we have to allow our souls to catch up with our bodies," they said. "Tomorrow we work." That is the principle of the Sabbath. There has to be days. And sometimes you got to work two straight. That's the way it's been for me. Two straight crazy weeks for me. Hardly even a break. Hardly even a time for to put my head up. That's okay. Because I'm not under a legal commitment to keep the Sabbath. But I'm under a principle commitment to keep the Sabbath. Because I know if I keep running it like that, I'm going to get sick. And I'll be no good to anybody. And so finally I get a break, I get to go spearfishing or do whatever I'm going to do. Sometimes it's that way. Sometimes you got a month in which you cannot rest, but sometime in there, you need to say, "Listen, at this point, when all these things are done, I'm going to vanish. And I'm going to go away, and I'm going to be quiet, I'm going to do something different." Let me tell you something, spearfishing is not rest. Holding your breath at 40 feet I was dog tired, but let me tell you something, I feel so refreshed. Because rest just simply means I'm doing something other than the toil of day in and day out work, dealing with the stuff that I deal with as a pastor, preparing and studying and the other things. And I want to make sure that those things stay fresh for me and right for me as God intended. In order for that to happen, in order for me not to burn out, I have to rest. You and I, we have to work. We have to rest. We have to do it. The Sabbath, an incredible law. We have rested from our works. We're trusting in Christ. We're trusting in Him. I wonder this morning, question asked to every one of you, are you resting in Christ? Are you still working somehow because one of these days you want to be certain to present to God all these works that you're going to accrue before Him so that you can make it into heaven? Listen, God, heaven's not for sale. But God is giving it away to those who will trust His Son, Jesus Christ. Rest in Jesus. Rest in the work that He did. And you will rest forever. You can rest forever in Him. Let's pray together. God, I thank You for the rest that has been accomplished in Christ. I thank You for the Sabbath command that has led us to faith in Christ, that led us to see how desperately we need rest, how desperately we need someone to come and rescue us, because our works can never fulfill. They can never add up to enough to outweigh the commands that we've broken. Instead, your Son, Jesus Christ, has come and kept those commands. He's died for us. He's risen again. He has said to us, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lord, I thank you for the rest that I have today in your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you that every day I rest in him. I pray, God, for the person here who is still working, still striving to be something he or she thinks you want them to be. I pray that they would give up that work and instead trust Christ and rest in him. Thank you for the rest that we have through your Son, God. Help us to be careful to rest, to work, but always to rest in you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you please to stand with me this morning.